Lift our hands and talk to the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh my. Oh, that's it. That's it. Praise Him together. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Exodus chapter 18. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this evening. So thankful. The presence of the Lord that's here. Confirmation of His Spirit. Amen. God loves His people. God is interested in helping some people tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 18, verse number 8. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. And all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, He was above them. Is that the God you serve? I said, is that the God you serve? Is that the God you come worshiping here tonight? Oh, I feel faith in this house. Hallelujah. John writes in 1 John 4 and 4, Ye are of God little children and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. My. God's come to deliver some people here today. Ooh, I'm going to preach for the next few moments. God is greater. God is greater. You may be seated. In our text, we find Moses talking to his father-in-law, Jethro. He is telling him, Moses is telling him of all the great things that God had done to them and delivering them from Egyptian bondage. Israel was in bondage to Egypt. Israel was slaves in the land of Egypt. And if you've been around church at all, you know that Egypt is a type of sin. It's a type of this world. And sin brings bondage. Sin brings oppression. And Pharaoh would not let the people of God go. God sent plagues to Egypt. I'm going to move quickly here. But God sent plagues to Egypt. He turned their beloved Nile, the river that flowed through, that gave them their water source and many other things. But they worshipped this river, and He turned it into blood. He smote them with frogs, and He smote them with lice, and He smote them with flies, and their livestock had diseases. And one by one, He sends these plagues to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh continued to harden his heart. Then He sent boils to be on the people of Egypt and upon their animals, and thunder and hail like they had never seen before. Then he sent to them locusts, so many that they could not even see the ground because locusts were everywhere. Then he sent unto them a thick darkness where they could not see. The final plague, and you know, if you know this story at all, you know I am rushing through this part of it, but there was a lot of dialogue between Moses and Pharaoh, and God had some things to say. But this final plague was God's judgment upon a wicked and a proud nation when he dealt the death angel passed over, and the firstborn of every house that did not have a blood covering was killed. This included Pharaoh's own son. You see, the Egyptians were idolaters. They worshipped many, many false gods. They were a very superstitious people. They had many gods that they had attributed powers to. They could look at something in nature, and the power that was there that God had given, you know, that God's creator, right? And but they would look at this and they would set that up as some idol, some god that they would worship because it had more power than they did, because they could not control it, and so it must be a god, and they would worship, and they worshiped the firstborn, and they worshiped all of these kinds of things. But each of these plagues that I listed for you today, God sent to Egypt to confront their superstition, to deal with the false doctrine that they had embraced, to deal with the pride of their idolatry that stank in the nostril of God. He dealt with them. He exposed their idolatry for what it was. Their gods were without power. Their gods were no match. And I'm talking about little g gods here. The gods that they created in their own mind and in their own imagination, they had no power against the one true God. And each of the plagues proved, I believe it proved not only to Egypt and Pharaoh, but it proved to Moses and to Israel that God was greater than every false god. This is why Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, when he heard all that God had done, he didn't pat Moses on the back. He didn't say, "Way to go, boy. You did a good job." No, what did he say in 18:11? He said, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For in the thing that they dealt proudly," this was the pride of Egypt. The things that they dealt proudly, he was above them all. Amen. The Amplified says it like this: "And now I know the Lord is greater than all gods. Yes, in the very thing in which they dealt proudly, he showed himself infinitely superior." Hallelujah. Jethro had a revelation. Amen. Jethro served the one true God, but he had a revelation. God is greater than any god that man can come up with, that man can contrive. He's great. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. When you look at Egypt, there was an evil force behind them. Yes, their magicians could do some things. The spirit of evil was driving them. But God came on the scene, and one by one, he showed them, "I've got all power. I've got all authority." There was nothing that Moses and Israel needed that God was not able to step on the scene and take care of in a moment. Amen. God proved to them that he was greater. I believe God wants somebody here today to understand. I believe God wants to prove to you today that He's greater than any situation that you have. He's greater than any problem, as the old song says, that you can see or that maybe you can't put your finger on, but it's bothering you. God's greater. I said God's greater, and He's in this place with power. He's in this place with authority. Praise God, praise God, praise God. First Chronicles 16 and 24. Declare His glory. And that's what I'm doing here this afternoon. Declare His glory among the heathen. His marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Woo, hallelujah. You can have your idol, you can hang on to that, and you can rub its little head, but I choose to pray to the Creator of the heavens. I choose to pray to the one who spoke this world into existence. There's nothing hard for Him. There's nothing difficult for Him. There's no problem that He can't take care of. He's not afraid of anything. I'll give the Lord some praise. There's another story in the Bible. Israelites were fighting the Philistines, and they were losing because God was not fighting for them. Amen. When you lose, it's because God's not fighting for you. And if God's not fighting for you, there's a reason He's not fighting for you. They had sin in their life. They were disobedient to God, and He had withdrawn Himself from them. Yes, sir. Right. Oh, Jesus. And they, in their carnality, in their arrogance, they birthed an idea that we can take the ark of God. Since God's not showing up, we can twist His arm and force Him to help us. Not, I'm going to repent and seek God and humble myself, because that was the pattern from the beginning. But they wanted to circumvent repentance. They wanted to circumvent getting things right with God. They wanted to go the easier route and try to get God to do for them what God wanted to do for them, but had withheld from them until they repented. So they bring this ark of God out to the battlefield, and the story, it didn't work out so well for them. And the ark belonged in the tabernacle. They did not have permission from God to do it this way. Amen. And a tragic thing happened while they had the ark with them at battle. The Philistines captured the ark of God, and many things happen in this story, and tragic things happened in this story. But I want to focus on what happened with the ark. The Philistines took this. The Philistines thought this was a great victory, and they put it. They took it back to their land, and they put it in their temple, and they put it up next to their idol, Dagon. And the very next morning, they came to check on their little idol and check on their acquisition from the battle. And lo and behold, the idol that had stood there so menacing, no doubt, and so strong in their eyes in the past, and the God that they had worshipped for so long, the Bible said, when the ushers came in and turned out, well, they didn't say that for sure, huh? When they come in and flip the lights, lit the torch early that morning, they come in to pray. What happened? Old Dagon was on his face. Ooh, I can see them now. We got to prop our little God up. Somebody go get some guys to help me. We've got to get this big idol up on its feet again. Oh, the ludicrousness of idolatry. Putting faith in something that doesn't even have its own ability, the power to help itself. Putting faith in things that can't help us, and ignoring the one that can. And so Dagon got put up on his feet again. And I'm sure they was scratching their heads and wondering what went wrong and looking around and trying to figure out what exactly happened. But the Bible said they did this again. And then the next morning they come in, and guess what? He had not only fallen, but his head was severed and his arms were severed. And the Bible said nothing but a stump remained. So now they've got a broken up stump idol. They've got an idol that can't even stand on its own two feet. They got an idol. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody grab the duct tape. We've got to put idol back together. No. I'm telling you, God proved to them, I'm greater than any God that you can make. I'm greater than any God that you can set up. Is there anything hard for the Lord? Is there anything difficult for God? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What about Elijah on Mount Carmel? Elijah spoke to the people, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, follow him. Sounds pretty reasonable. 450 priests of Baal prepared the sacrifice up on Mount Carmel. It was showdown time on Mount Carmel. And we've got 450 priests against one prophet. That's the way it looked on the outside. And he gave them, if you read the story, it's pretty comical, because he gave them all this, all the allowances. I mean, they had all the time of the day. They had anything they wanted. It's as if he just stood back and watched the show. And all the show it was, because they were trying to force a God that didn't even exist to do something it couldn't even do, because it didn't even exist. And they were, oh, hallelujah. And the Bible said the longer it went, these prophets got desperate and they began to cry out. Oh, what is 450 desperate prophets sound like? There was agonizing because they couldn't get their idol to do, their God to do what it was supposed to do. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible said they continued in this way until they took stones and they would begin to cut themselves trying to get the attention of a God that did not exist. Oh, my God. And they continued on in this way. Elijah, oh, he's up there. What's going on? Where is your God? Has he taken a vacation? Has he went to sleep? What's the matter with your God? And he gives them all the time until the Bible said it's time for the evening sacrifice. Move over, boys. Elijah rebuilds the altar that had been broken down. Man, we could stay here a while. He rebuilds the altar that had remembered sacrifices unto the one true God. And the Bible said that after the sacrifice was upon the altar, that he called for three, can't remember what it was now. It's what happens when you get out of your notes. Containers of water. Okay? I don't know how big they were, but he wanted three of them. And they went and fetched water. Remember, there's a drought. I don't know where they got the water. But they went and got water from somewhere. And they poured it upon the altar. And the deal is, the God that answered by fire would be the one true God. I can imagine Elijah. We're gonna make the point today. We're gonna let God prove Himself. Hallelujah. Woo! They bring the water and they pour it on the sacrifice. I don't know that they've ever done that before. Then he said, "That's not enough. I want three more." And they go get three more. And all the while, the 450 false prophets standing there bleeding from cuts on themselves. Their throat is hoarse. They probably lost all their strength. I don't know what they're doing. But Elijah, he gets the water on there and he said, "We're not done. I want you to go back the third time and bring some more water, because God's fixing to show Himself strong." They get the water there. Elijah prays a prayer. What is it, 60-something English words? It didn't take him all day, because he'd already been talking to the one true God. He already knew the mind of God. He already knew the intent of God. He already knew what God, you know what God's done in this service? He's given us a taste of His mind. He's given us the intent. You know why we feel the liberty that's in this place? God's come to show Himself strong on somebody's behalf in this place. It does not matter if you've got a physical problem. It does not matter if you've got a mental problem. It does not matter if you've got a family problem. It does not matter the spirits of hell that are on your trail, that are bombarding your mind. There's a God up in heaven that wants to show Himself strong on your behalf. Hey, is our God weak and anemic? Is our God on vacation? I've said you serve a God that's on the job tonight. You serve a God that hears and He answers prayer. Oh, give the Lord some praise again. Woo! Hey, Ivo Shakayalabaha. Oh, He's here. You ain't waiting on God. He's here. What I feel opposition. You know what? God's greater than that. What I feel opposition. God's greater than that. I feel doubt in my mind. God's greater than that. I'm struggling in my family. I'm telling you, bring it to a God who's greater. You might be fighting spirits in your family. You might be fighting spirits on your job. I'm telling you, the greater the enemy, the greater God's grace. Because He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. I've got a health problem. I don't know if God's able. I'm telling you, God's able. Don't you question for one moment His ability and His willingness. Woo. I've come to preach doubt off of you. I've come to preach doubt out of your mind. The word of the Lord has come to cleanse us. To cleanse us. You know what? We picked up doubt somewhere along the way. Is that revival coming? I'm here to tell you it's here. It's not only coming, it's here. It's here. You need to rebuke those spirits of doubt and say, "Get thee behind me. I'm going to God." Lift up your hands and love Him right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. Oh. God's people don't have to beg Him. Come on, God's people don't have to cut themselves. They don't have to plead and beg and do. No, 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 no. I serve a God who is able and a God who is willing. Come on, what is it you need tonight? I had a burden for you today. God's greater. God's greater than disease. He's greater than affliction. That's it. Pray right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of. Oh, come on. He's come on purpose right now. Bring your need to the Lord and watch as He performs His work. Some of you need to bring your family down to this altar and say, God's greater than these problems right here. Some of you need to bring your mind down to this altar and say, God's greater than what I'm dealing with. Come on, it's not hard for God. There you go. Somebody's believing on Him. I'm telling the Holy Ghost, He's come to do something here tonight. The deliverer is here. Woo! He come a hashakalama.